All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, November 16th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com. For short, head on over to the site, grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA as well, hockey-based projections. So everything you need to get yourself started on FanDuel and DraftKings, free for 3 days, and then $39.95 a month after that, and you're all good to go. Buddy, we are sitting in a room together, live in the DFSR studios, podcasting.
Such as they are.
Yeah. i.e. your office. And we're going to break down some cash game plays for week 11 in the NFL for FanDuel and DraftKings. The article went up a couple days ago. Not too much has changed since that time, although I think you were already starting to disagree with some of the things that I wrote. So I just told you to wait. And
just the wrong things. I like the right things that you wrote, but all the wrong ones I disagree with.
I kind of told you to just shut up and wait for the podcast to start. Just shut up. And now you're going to be unleashed to be able to talk and disagree with everything I said. So a little bit of a weird week this week because there are a number of really good plays, but they don't all fall on the main slate. So if you look at the way our lineups are projecting right now, if you do Thursday night lineups, you get a pretty different group of guys than you would for just the Sunday main. Part of that is because you have the Pittsburgh guys going tonight for the Thursday night game. You also have Tevin Coleman, who looks like he's going to take over most of the rushing duties for Devontae Freeman on the Monday night game. That's a lot of value. It's actually incentivized to play the Thursday night. Like we did this last week with Russell Wilson and Christian McCaffrey, both on the Russell on the Thursday night game and then McCaffrey not coming until Monday night. I'm kind of feeling the same way about it today. So we are going to skip a couple of those guys, but if you head over to the site and look at some of the lineups, I think you'll see that there's good value to be had between the Thursday and Sunday slate, or Thursday and Monday night slate. So let's start at quarterback. I led with Alex Smith. The Giants have been some kind of awful against opposing quarterbacks, especially in the short term. The last 3 weeks, I wrote this out, but C.J. Beathard went for 288 and two touchdowns. Jared Goff went 311 and four, and that was like in three quarters. Like, they didn't even give him the fourth quarter to play. Like, he put that up in 75% of the game. And then Russell Wilson went 334 and three. They have just been getting torched all over the place. It looks like the team's completely given up. KC's got a huge they're pretty big favorites here, and they just have one of the highest totals of the week. Do you think we can trust a guy like Smith here in cash games, just considering the matchup?
I do like Smith. I mean, he's already a pretty consistent contributor to their offense, of course. He runs just the littlest bit, which we, of course, always like. And, yeah, the consistency of the completion percentage against a team that doesn't really stop opponents from completing passes seems like a pretty perfect storm to me. We've even seen they've moved away from Kareem Hunt a little bit, moving some of his carries into the short passing game, which favors Smith as well. And I think the price point is right on. I mean, $7,900 for a quarterback in one of the games with the highest totals, again, on a team with a running back who hasn't scored a touchdown in 6 weeks. It seems like a great spot.
Yeah, I think you are going to want to pay up for quarterback. I mean, at least the guys I wrote up here, I don't do this every week. Like last week, I wrote up like Eli Manning and went some cheaper routes on some of the quarterbacks. I think this is a week you're definitely fine paying up for one of these guys. The three guys I think are at the top of the list are in better spots than most other, guys. And there's just a lot of quarterback weirdness this week. I mean, like, on the main slate, you have actually just a pretty bad group of guys. Like, Tyrod Taylor just got benched for Peterman. It's not like Taylor was good, but Taylor got benched for Peterman. Phillip Rivers is in concussion protocol, and he might not play. And then you just have a list of guys like the Tom Savages of the world and Eli Mannings and Derek Carr hasn't really been that good. So I think you're fine paying up at quarterback. And the other guy I wrote up was Brady. I mean, he's going up against an Oakland defense that's not all that good against the pass. Do you get worried? We usually don't do this because our system really, really favors a quarterback that can run. And that's almost always been correct. Just because you see it time and time again. You make up for not having to run good on throwing touchdowns when you can just basically grab a touchdown.
Chip in a few points. Yeah. You know, you've run for 20 yards, that's 50 passing yards, right? I mean, yeah, it definitely adds up.
So do you trust Brady in this matchup against Oakland? They actually do have the highest total of the week.
It seems fine. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine playing him over Alex Smith, if that's the bar that we're going to use here, simply because Brady's averaged fewer fantasy points per game. He's 700 more and has a worse matchup. So, you know, taking all those factors together, it's hard to imagine why I would prioritize him over Alex Smith. I mean, I suppose you could make an argument. I don't even know if you can make an argument that Brady is safer outside of his just reputation of being a better quarterback. You know, this season he's was pretty good last game, but before that you had to wait 5 weeks before his previous 20 fantasy point performance. So Brady's just okay to me. This is a fine matchup. I wouldn't mind playing him in cash games if there weren't just a very obviously better option sitting there.
I think people will, in the higher price tier, want to go up to Carson Wentz. I'm a little worried that the touchdown, he's been very, very lucky. They throw a lot. But his pass attempts to touchdown rate just doesn't seem sustainable. We had kind of talked about the same thing with Deshaun Watson before the injury. I think that people might end up playing Wentz in this matchup over against Dallas. We have Brady for a few more points. It's going to be close. I'm with you, though. Smith offers kind of like the cheaper version of the cheaper version of just being able to scramble a little bit for a slightly lower price point. And the last guy I wrote up was Breeze. Breeze at 8,100. So he's 500 less than Brady. Breeze's numbers this year are really good. His only issue this season is they haven't asked him to throw a ton. His attempts per game are pretty far down because the running game has been so effective this season. I think for that reason, we are actually buying a little low on him, because in games where that even ticks up a little bit, like 10-15%, because the game stays closer and they just are, you know, Washington's able to stop the run a little bit. I do think that we're getting a nice price on Breeze. If you look at these guys, could you imagine playing Breeze in cash games this week just because of the matchup? And it's Breeze at home too, I think that's a scenario where we want to grab him.
Yeah, Breeze at home seems like a fine option. Again, you know, if the bar I need to clear is Alex Smith, then that's going to be difficult to do, simply because I really, really like him this week. But yeah, Breeze seems like a fine option. I mean, you know, 8,000 is cheap for him historically. Him going up against Washington, it's a fine matchup. It's nothing to write home about. It's a significantly worse matchup than either Brady or Smith has. So I just, again, don't know that I would prioritize it. But if you want to hedge, for instance, or you just trust Breeze better because he has a longer track record in history, I wouldn't fault you for it.
And like I said, the Wentz-Dak matchup is actually going to happen Sunday night, so that's actually not even available on DraftKings. So I think the only decision you're waiting for there is if you want to do it on FanDuel. I'd be worried about Dak. Dak did look like he took a dip last week with no Ezekiel Elliott. Like, they're losing Elliott really just hurts the team across the board. And I thought we'd maybe see them rely a little bit more on Dak, but I think what we saw was the offense just struggled. So and that's kind of where I end up falling with him again this week. Eagles too, just a mention of Wentz. He has just a lower game total than any of the other quarterbacks that we mentioned before, and with a team that has three running backs and they're incentivized to run the ball as well too. And like I said, I get a little bit worried about the touchdowns really propping up most of Wentz fantasy production.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think the touchdowns are pretty obviously unsustainable. Keep in mind, if we just look at the year to date, Wentz, it's not like he's run insanely hot over the course of the whole season in terms of touchdowns. Like, he actually wasn't getting very many touchdowns early on in the season at all. And also, the thing with Wentz is he does take off and run quite a bit. I mean, the last two games, only two carries in each of those. But prior to that, 8, 6, 6, 6, 6 carries. Like, he runs the ball more than these other guys that we're considering, including Alex Smith. So I just want to make sure that we're accounting for all those factors in projecting him forward. Now, I don't want to play Wentz for cash either. I think I'd still rather play Alex Smith, but I think Wentz, like, if you're comparing Wentz to Brady heads up, for instance, I think that's a lot closer than maybe it seems.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a guy that we will take a closer look at. And I don't think he's going to end up just at the price point getting up and over a guy like Smith, just in terms of points per dollar, but definitely maybe above the Breeze and Brady types, that could be end up being a little bit closer than I probably envisioned it.
He just seems like the same guy as Brady to me, I guess is my point. And in our system, he's separated by a few points, and I just don't think that sounds right.
All right, at running back, I led here with Kareem Hunt. I know you hate it. This is one of the guys that I know you didn't want to see in the write-up. And well, okay, so let's start here. I'll make the case for him.
You make a case for, and then I'll make a case against.
Okay.
Don't make any of my points against, because I can see you're going, I know that in the last few, but just make the case of why he's a good player.
Okay. I know the last four games have been bad.
No, that's what you weren't allowed to say. That. That's my point.
No, I'm letting you know that I know that's been bad. So he has been bad. The volume has dipped a little bit. Some of that is game script stuff. They came out of the gate using him a ton, and he broke off a lot of long runs. I get that part. I'm with the part where the last 4 weeks have been discouraging. I'm encouraged because the carries are still there to some degree. He still gets work in the passing game. They are the biggest favorite on the week against a Giants team that cannot stop anybody on defense. And they've shown this. But when I made the list of guys that were killing them through the air, they're also getting killed on the ground as well. I just think that, and also here's the other thing too, the other group of running backs. So we're losing Bell. Like, there's no Bell on the main slate. The other group of guys, don't have the best matchups in the world. You get a Fournette against a Cleveland team. And I actually wrote up Fournette, so I'll talk about him in a second. You have Mark Ingram. There's question marks there, which we can get to. You have Todd Gurley up in a very bad matchup against Minnesota. You have LeSean McCoy in a bad matchup as an underdog with a totally new quarterback, so I don't think you want to go there. You have Melvin Gordon in a terrible matchup. So anyway, the list, I'm listing this top 7 or 8 running backs here in terms of price and just like guys, things that they've done over the course of the season. When you look down that group, I'm willing to be okay with the fact that Hunt has not been very good over the short term for the matchup and the kind of, I guess I say, hope to return to, you know, a 17 carry volume against in a very good matchup.
Okay. Yeah. And the points you make about other guys not being good isn't necessarily a point in Hunt's favor. I mean, obviously, we have to only pick 2 running backs. So I hear that part. Why are you making a confused face?
Because it is a point. It is a point in Hunt's favor. Because
But you only listed 5 running backs that aren't good in good spots.
I'll keep going. Adrian Peterson is old. Alex Collins, you don't know who's going to get the carries. Jerick McKinnon. I'm just going by price. Where we have them projected. Oh no, sorry, points per dollar. Kamara's in a time split. Jordan Howard's got a bad matchup. Jay Ajayi's sharing the load. You do get Chris Thompson. We're going to get to him in a second. Latavius Murray is in a timeshare. Lamar Miller stinks. Amir Abdullah stinks. I mean, I can keep going with the list. I'm not just purposely leaving out all the good plays. I'm just listing all the quarterbacks. And I did write up a couple of these guys that I just mentioned. I just think that of this group, I think Hunt. Yeah, I think there's a very strong case in the upper tier that he has the best matchup. He's seen something of a price dip over the short term because of the bad play, and he's now coming in, I think, as a value.
Yeah, so, okay, I hear what you're saying. I pick a bone a little bit with some of the points you made about some of the plays. I don't want to get into every single one of them. For instance, Jordan Howard's matchup with Detroit, totally league average in terms of yards per carry allowed, 4.0. It ties for 14th, 15th, and 16th in the league. Right down the middle. So I think Howard actually is a pretty reasonable comp for Hunt. And I think you can make an argument that generally speaking, he's just a better play than him, price not even considered. When we look at Hunt, there's a few things to really, really dislike about him. In the last 6 weeks, he's had 108 carries, which isn't terrible over the course of 6 weeks, except he's turned that into 399 yards. So with 108 carries for 399 is just terrible. I mean, that's really, really bad. 180 of his 800 yards this season are from 3 carries that came in the first 3 weeks of the season. And he's just been bad since. And if he were just a volume hog, like if they were just like, well, whatever, we're just going to give the ball to Kareem no matter what, then I think we have a stronger case here. But in 2 of the last 4 weeks, he had 9 carries. And these weren't, it's one thing to call a game script. The game against Dallas, they were in that game. They were down by 7 points going into the second quarter. And the Pittsburgh game, they lost by 6 points. So I don't know that I can pay $8,600 for a guy who's only going to get 9 carries when his team loses by 6 points. I think that it's all well and good that he's cheaper than he was earlier in the season. I really do like the matchup. I'm not convinced that we shouldn't play him this week. I'll say that much. I think he's reasonable. I just think it's so far from like an exciting play, like a headlining. Like we should definitely just play him in all lineups because he's the clear big money play. Like I would be looking really, really hard to find someone. Like it seems like the exact worst kind of guy to pay up for in my mind. Like there's just no safety at all. Basically have to go perfectly for him in order for him to pay this price. I mean, you disagree. When was the last time he paid this price?
I disagree about the volume. I know that he had the 9 carries. The 2 previous games, he had 22 and 19. They got completely time of possession out of Dallas. Here's the thing. It's almost just as much about the rest of the list of guys. And I think that is a fair point. The rest of these guys, I totally disagree about Jordan Howard. I would happy to take a no halftime challenge of Hunt versus Jordan Howard. I don't think that one's particularly that close. But
how about on a points per dollar basis? Would you take that bet?
Oh, for Jordan Howard over Kareem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I would probably still take Hunt. That's how much I value the matchup.
I think that's nuts. I'm looking at Howard's, like, if you want to find reasons why people haven't been that strong recently, just look at the defenses Howard's gone up against in the last 5 weeks. He goes, I mean, just going by FanDuel's rankings here, I can pull it up otherwise elsewhere, but he's got New Orleans, Carolina, Baltimore, and Minnesota, the worst of which ranks his 9th against the run per FanDuel stats, which I know stink, but I don't know. I think that Howard's a guy with a better track record historically. I think, you know, this season, Hunt basically, he just basically has 3 games. And then after that, it's just a big sea of mediocrity, 13-point games and stuff like that. So, I mean, you can make an argument that this will be a better week than those for sure. The Giants have obviously been pretty lousy against the run. It just strikes me as a very strange situation to pay up for. And, again, you have to find two of them. And if he's just the other one, then that's something we might have to live with. But, yeah, just not an exciting play. That's all.
Howard has 5 points, 7 points, and 8 points in three of his last 5 weeks. I mean, like, that's not a safe guy. I didn't say
he was safe. I said I felt like he was safer on a points per dollar basis than Kareem Hunt.
All right, well, we'll move on. So we disagree about Hunt, but I'm going to stand pretty firm in this one. I think this is a good play. The other guys that I wrote up are Ingram. The problem here with Ingram is his numbers have been amazing, but he's still sort of in a timeshare with Kamara, and that to me is a concern because it's worked out in the short term because they've won. They've been winning, and so when they're winning, there just are enough carries for these two guys to go around. And so But in these scenarios, it's lined up perfectly that even if you're in a timeshare, you still get 22 carries. That's my only hesitation for paying like $8,200 for a guy where if the game goes even a little bit different. Now we're looking at 15 carries for him because the plan is still to get Kamara in as a sort of change of pace. Do you think that concern is real or is the matchup? I mean, they're also at home with big favorites, and that's exactly where we want to target running backs. Do you think that piece outweighs the part where he could just get buzzed off a little bit on his carries?
No, I think you make a good point about the timeshare there, and I do think it's a concern for sure. I just think that, given all the other people on the slate today, the concerns with them, like as you laid them out, seem stronger in the other cases. And I think Ingram's still relatively cheap. I think the plan for him is to get 20 touches if the team is winning and Vegas thinks they're going to win. I think that's kind of what we have to go with. So, I think it's definitely troubling. I mean, Kamara is really nipping at his heels and continues to be more effective on a yards per carry basis. And that always gives me pause, like given that he's performed so well in the last couple of weeks, every time he touches the ball, it just does some dynamic, incredible thing. It seems like 12 carries for 106 yards last week. That definitely has to give you pause. But yeah, I think you can still run with Ingram here.
Another guy is Chris Thompson. Rob Kelly, Washington put Chris Thompson on IR. Excuse me. They put Rob Kelly on IR. It looks like Chris Thompson is going to, I think it'll be Samaje Perine will start, but I think we're going to see much more of Thompson. Like they've kind of been hesitant to run him a lot between the tackles. This strikes me though as they just eliminate a guy like Kelly completely from the mix, and now you're left with a guy who has been featured a ton. Like he leads the team in targets or something like mm-hmm. that. And if you think that one, it's going to be a struggle for Washington to get up and then run the ball effectively against New Orleans, which I think is a bridge too far. Like I don't think they'd be able to do that. I think there's a lot of upside on Thompson in that he probably just sees. I'd be shocked if he didn't see the most running back snaps this week. And I think from that he doesn't like necessarily even need to be like listed the starter for me because we have a pretty long track record of what they use him for, and it just seems like this is going to be the kind of game they're going to need to use him because I just can't imagine they get up like two touchdowns on the Saints and all of a sudden are just running downhill and trying to run the game out. Do you think that's fair with Thompson? And at that point, I mean, at 6,800, you're possibly, again, not looking at rostering a starting, quote unquote, starting running back. And is it still okay to kind of throw him out there in this matchup?
I actually really like Chris Thompson this week. I mean, in the last 5 weeks, Chris Thompson has one fewer fantasy point than Kareem Hunt. So 1,800 less. The situation's improving. I think Washington's leaning on him more. I actually really, really like, and Kareem Hunt actually qualifies for this too, but I really like the running backs that will get a few receptions and get those cooking. They come less consistently typically than carries do, but I think you can actually supplement the carries really significantly by doing that. So yeah, I like Thompson.
Yeah, last thing about Hunt, the one thing I did write about him was, I was going to say that the one thing that's remained consistent has been his work in the passing game. Has his targets, even when the carries dipped, the targets did not. So
So you pay $1,000 for every carry you're going to get from him, and then Leonard you get Fournette, a few receptions as well.
Leonard Fournette's up against Cleveland. He is coming off a really bad week. He's very expensive. I wrote him up here because I just wanted to write up another guy in the upper price tier that you might still possibly be getting value on if he were to return to some of his high volume ways. It is a concern that he just was bad last week and they just ended up splitting carries. He's coming off the injury. I wrote him up fourth mostly because I think he'll go relatively unnoticed based on what he did last week. And I still think it's fine. If football has taught us nothing, it's that you just can't look at the previous week project out based on that. These things do switch a lot. There's just so much variance in football. All right. Before we hit up some wide receivers, give us a sponsor.
Sure, let's talk about No Halftime. No Halftime is a great app for people who want to make one-on-one daily fantasy challenges. Doug alluded to this earlier, but if you have a guy that you're against this week that you think other people are going to be high on, like Kareem Hunt, say you're some brilliant person who can really read between the lines in any given week, you can go ahead and pick players that you think that are going to outperform that guy. So you head on over there, you pick a player you like, issue a challenge on a player you think your guy is going to outperform, and you're good to go. You can also cruise through the No Halftime app and find other challenges that people are issuing that you can accept if you like, and if not, you just ignore them. It's like daily fantasy, but you know exactly the lineup that your opponent has put in. So head on over there, use promo code DFSR, and you can get a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
Wide receivers, one of the reasons I think we're going to be fine paying up for running backs this week is because there's just not a lot. There's not a ton to love in the very high price tier of wide receiver. Like Antonio Brown is playing on Thursday night. Julio Jones is playing on the Monday night game. So you're just taking out two guys right there. And then there's a lot of question marks between this for this position. And also there's a couple guys on bye. So I started with Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, he's not in quite, he's not in that tier of the guys that I mentioned, but specifically like Antonio Brown or pre-Tom Savage, DeAndre Hopkins. But there's a lot to like here, I think, with Thomas. One thing is, and this is from Pro Football Focus, so if you look at where the Washington cornerbacks have lined up this season, they are content to only ever line up Josh Norman in the left side. He's not shadowing anybody. So, and that goes opposite of Michael Thomas, where he lines up. And so he lines up on the opposite side of where Norman always lines up. And Breshad Breeland has been one of the worst cornerbacks in all of football this year by Pro Football Focus's rating. I think that combined with just the volume, I think you do well by yourself by just in cash games, basically stacking this game, like the Breeze, Ingram, Thomas, Breeze, Kamara, Thomas, combinations of those guys, having Thomas in there, I think gives you a high floor. And he just strikes me as like by far the safest wide receiver on the slate.
Yeah, I love Thomas this week. I mean, 10, 11, 8, and 11 targets in the last 4 weeks, turning those into a minimum of 7 receptions. Actually run bad in terms of touchdowns, so I think there's a lot to like here. I love the point about Norman lining up lockstep on the left side too, because not only does it leave Thomas with Breeland, who's a terrible cornerback, it also just takes away receptions from that side of the field, whoever lines up over there, you know? So one way or the other, it seems like this is going to be one of Thomas's best spots of the season.
Yeah, he'll be pretty much 100%. I suspect he's just the highest. I mean, a lot of this stuff isn't missed by your even your average fan. I think he'll and look, there's just not a lot of other ways to pay up.
Yeah, you just want to spend some dollars on something, right?
Right. Like, so he is the most expensive on the main slate. He's 8,600. Next closest guy is AJ Green in a terrible matchup. Adam Thielen, he's in a bad matchup as well because the Rams cover corners are rated about as good as it is in the NFL this season. And then you just have some serious question marks after that, like especially like the aforementioned DeAndre Hopkins. I also wrote up Jarvis Landry. Landry's is like, it's just so amazingly efficient. And I saw a stat, and I can't remember who posted it, that he had something like the most receptions ever for the first 3 years of an NFL career. That he's just, no one catches the ball more than this guy. And it's been with a bunch of different quarterbacks too. Like it's been with Tannehill, Cutler, a little bit of Matt Moore. Like this, not like, and by the way, all these guys stink. So the fact that he's getting these kind of receptions. Now, I did make one point in this about Landry's yards. So his,
they're very bad.
They're very, very bad. I'm wondering how much you think the yards are unlucky. Like, so I looked back at his game logs over the last couple of years to look at what his long receptions have been for his career. And over the past couple of years, he's had long receptions. Like he's had 60 yarders and 50 yarders. He had something, I think I wrote it down, but he has something like 5 of those over the last couple of years or 6. This year, he doesn't have any of them. But he's seen the ball so much. At what point do you think that like he's maybe just been unlucky that he hasn't broken one? Because the only way you can really get really long receptions typically is to get the ball, like, or your best chance to get long receptions is just to continue getting the ball over and over and over again. Not for everybody. Some guys just run like go routes and that's all they do. But at some point, do you think that like he is just running bad on that he hasn't like broken a tackle and kind of taken across the middle for a lot of yards? Like I think we are still kind of buying low on him because that hasn't happened for him.
Yeah, Landry's a funny case that way. I mean, this season he has one of the lowest yards after catch in all the NFL. 3.6 yards after catch on the reception is just terrible. And it's deeply below his historical averages, too. I mean, his historical average of 5.4 isn't anything to write home about, but there really isn't anything to suggest that he should be getting 2 fewer yards after the catch than normal. So I think from that perspective, and that's also the type of thing that can really be changed up by not having one 70-yard reception on the year. It is interesting, too, that in his 2014 season, his longest reception was 25 yards. So, and that was over the course of 16 games and 84 catches. He definitely has it in him to catch that short route, and Miami has shown a propensity to just feed him the short routes. And so I don't know that you want to, like, and I don't think you're doing this, but I don't think you can just pencil him in to go back to getting 10, 12 yards per reception like he has in the prior years. But I think something like 9 yards per reception is probably totally fair. And, you know, just those sorts of little things start giving him 2-3 more fantasy points a game. And I think that would make him an even better play. But I think there's just a lot to like about Landry in general. I mean, he's one of their primary targets when they get down in the red zone. He has a touchdown in 5 of the last 6 games. The minimum reception in that time is 5. And he's still really cheap at sub 7,000. So, yeah, I'm a big buyer on Landry. Have been for most of the season.
Oh, yeah. And let me be clear. I'm bullish on him on just, like, this year's returns. Like, forgetting about, like, this year's yards per catch. Like, which was, at this point, mostly what we're basing it on. So, I was more making the point, like, I think the floor is fantastic, and I think there's, like, extreme upside.
There's ceiling that you might not notice. I agree with that, for sure.
The other guy here is Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard came out last week and did kind of what we thought he was going to do, which would be Eli Manning's main target in the passing offense. This is a team that still cannot run. Their matchup is not as good this week. Like, they faced San Francisco last week, and that was kind of a prime matchup. This week, he's going to get Kansas City, though he's not going to get Marcus Peters because he lines up primarily in the slot, and it does not look like Peters is going to shadow cover him. So it's like not even a terrible cornerback matchup, it doesn't look like, for Shepard. Do you think at this point, though, it was mostly just like 10 or 11 targets at 6,500, and you can kind of almost play anybody? Like, not and there are some situations you're not going to want to, but that's kind of where I stand with Shepard. Is you're just buying in the upper middle tier, at least on FanDuel, a little expensive on DraftKings, for, I think, pretty clearly it's just him and Ingram are going to be the two guys that Manning throws to come hell or high water.
Yeah, and Shepard, I mean, unlike Landry, he catches short balls, but he does so kind of in stride heading downfield. He's turned a lot of these short receptions into longer runs in the last 2 weeks. 16 receptions for 212 yards is just excellent, and, you know, not really dependent on any one single big reception. Hasn't even gotten in the end zone in that time, so he's been paying this price without the benefit of any touchdown luck. And, I mean, you could strongly suggest that he's been unlucky in touchdowns to go 16 catches without any of those ending with that last yard on the field. So, yeah, I really love Shepard this week. Almost a must cash game play for me, while he continues to be just dramatically underpriced relative to his current opportunity.
Totally agree. And then the last guy is Jamison Crowder. It looks like he's going to be back this week. He's very cheap on both sides. 5,400 and 4,300. The targets are there. The matchup is bad. The Saints cornerbacks rate about the highest in the league across the board. Like, they have 70 or plus ratings, really. And I think two of them are like in the 80s and 90s. So this is not a good matchup for him. But 5,400 for a guy who's coming off double digit targets falls into that same category of, we can sort of at some point overlook the matchup and just say, maybe the conversions aren't going to be there, but it sure seems like the volume is going to be.
24 targets in the last 2 weeks, or his last 2 games, I should say, because he did miss a game with injury, is absurd for a $5,400 price tag. I mean, particularly on, you know, you get him over on DraftKings, where the points per reception matter even more. 200 yards on 24 targets in 2 weeks is, yeah, it's a criminally low price.
Finishing off with tight ends, if you played the tight ends against the Giants this year, I'm pretty sure you got a touchdown every single week. I got to go back and look, but I mean, I went back just the last 4 weeks and just listed the guys that caught touchdowns against them out of the tight end position, and I'm pretty sure I just probably skipped. I gave it up. And then, but I think I saw someone on Twitter mention that had happened. So Garrett Celek last week, 4 for 67 on a touchdown. Jimmy Graham 2 weeks before, 3 for 51 on a touch. Hunter Henry 3 for 42 on a touch. Cameron Brate 4 for 80 and a touch, and that's just the last 4 weeks. Now you get Travis Kelce. I usually do not want to spend up for tight ends because these guys are typically properly priced. This is a week where it doesn't seem like there's really, just going through the wide receivers we just talked about, you're not going to be paying up for wide receiver, really. Like, you're going to pay up for even for Thomas, and then you're going to have lots of ways that you could just save in this middle tier. Do you think Kelce, from that perspective, just starts working his way into cash games at 7,500? Because, again, like, the Giants, and this has been like multi-years worth of stuff where they haven't been able to stop this position, but they've just been so egregiously bad and now probably get arguably the best tight end in football.
Yeah, I think it's a great spot. I mean, it's interesting. This is a week where you can go ahead and basically play Crowder at tight end at the tight end price point of 5,400, and you can just play Kelce as a $7,500 wide receiver, and then you're kind of good to go. And the reason I make that distinction, because I realize that might be confusing for people just tuning in for the first time, is we often talked about how there just are almost never playable wide receivers or players at any position in the 5,000s, except for a tight end versus the guys you would compare them to. But Crowder, I think, affords you the opportunity to pay up $7,500 at tight end. Another thing that does it actually is if you decide to not go in the Kareem Hunt direction and you go double medium to cheaper at running back, then that leaves you a little bit of extra salary. There really just aren't that many big money plays in general this week, and so middling out tends to be a lot more effective than it would be in any other given week in the NFL.
And then I put Vernon Davis down. We're still waiting on Jordan Reed news here, so Davis is completely contingent on Reed, whether he plays or not. I think that if Reed were to sit again, we saw a lot of targets for Davis last week, and I think we would be fine running him out there for that kind of same target share again. I think you see him as a pretty popular play. You'd see him as a pretty popular play if we knew that he was going to be the lone tight end. And it looked like he ran most of his routes in pass catching routes as well too. So it's not like you're worried about him falling too much into the blocking scheme. All right, we're going to get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. We'll be back again tomorrow doing a full game by game breakdown, taking a look at every game on the slate, arguing more about Kareem Hunt, getting quietly mad at each other about wanting to just think the other person's wrong. And you can enjoy a whole other podcast of that tomorrow. DFSR.com/NBA, free 3-day trial. Go check it out. Be back again tomorrow, buddy. Adios.
I'm right and you're wrong.